You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
So we want to really talk about secure people in an insecure world. How many know we live in an insecure world right now? A world which is a lot of things going on. But we want to, over the next few weeks or so, we're going to be going through this this week, next week, probably for about 4 weeks, and then we're going to start to ramp things up for the Christmas season. How many know Christmas is a good time to bring people to church? Amen. And so we thank God for that. Recently, I had my nephews and nieces, my wife's nephews and nieces around our house. And so what happened was we had them, the youngest one. So he's at two, I think, two, something like that. And so he's asking me loads of questions. Everything I'm doing, he's like, what's that? Why is that? What's that? And so when I was there, I'm putting up some shelves. I've got the drill out. I'm doing some DIY in my house. He's like, what's that? Why is that? Why is that? It's a drill. Why? It's a drill. That's what it is. It's a drill. What's it for? What's it for? I'm going to put up a shelf. What's a shelf? What's that? Why? And so he's asking all these questions. And so, you know, just to kind of, not, I was going to say just to shut him up, but that didn't sound right. But, you know, I let him hold the drill and we were just whizzing the drill and the nuts already in there. And so he thinks he's participated in what I'm doing. And so he's asking me all these questions. And I was thinking about this because you don't have to be alive long before life gives you questions. You don't have to be alive long before life gives you questions. Those of you who are parents, you know what I'm talking about. But as life goes on, life gives you different questions. These questions are now a bit more complex than what is a drill? What is a screwdriver? What is it for? That you start to go through life and you have some other questions. Why am I not married yet? And we know that can be a question that people start to feel. I know it's church, so we have to pretend like we don't think of those things, but inside you can just say amen, hallelujah. But even more serious questions, why is my child still sick? Questions like, why did a loved one die so young? Why have I still got no house? Or why have I still in this predicament? And I want to say to you, these questions are not unique to our time or culture. If you read your Bible, you will come across these questions. In the book of Psalms, he says, the psalmist says, how long, Lord? How many of you read that? But the psalmist is actually saying, how long, Lord, before you avenge my enemies? Those of you that know about the New Testament, John the Baptist. John the Baptist sees Jesus, and John the Baptist comes up to Jesus, or Jesus comes up to John the Baptist, and he declares, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist is bad. He sees Jesus and he says this, but then later on, as you go on in the gospel narrative, John the Baptist is arrested, John the Baptist is in prison, John the Baptist is going to get his head cut off, and then John the Baptist gets his disciples and he sends them to Jesus, and John the Baptist says to his disciples, go to Jesus and ask him, is he the one or do we look for another? These are questions. Jesus himself, fully God, fully man, is on the cross. Jesus is on the cross. His nails are pierced in his hands and his feet. He's going through the most excruciating death that man has ever invented. Crucifixion is where we get the word excruciating. This is the worst way to die. Jesus himself is on the cross, and Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? And so you can study that out. Is it because he's so spiritual, he's on the cross, he's quoting Psalms, because that's one of the Psalms? Or is it because he's fully God and fully man, and that's the man side of him crying out? Listen, that's for bigger people to debate. But what I would say is that is a question. And that is amazing, because this is the same voice and the same lips that when Lazarus was dead, cried out and says, Lazarus, come forth. Now that same voice is saying, why? That's the same voice that when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to debate with Jesus, Jesus would silence them with his wisdom and he's dropping knowledge on them, and they could not even argue with him. But that's the same voice that's asking why. And I could go on and on. The woman that was caught in adultery, the same voice that said, listen, I do not condemn you. The same voice that said to the man that was letting through the roof, that was paralyzed, your sins are forgiven you. Now on the cross, the same voice, the same lips that did all of that is crying out, why? Really, all of these questions are what they're saying is, what the heck is going on? How many have ever felt that? What the heck is going on? See, I know you've got your Sunday stuff on today, so you have to pretend like, no, I don't think about that. I think about John the Baptist and Isaiah and Hezekiah. But listen, let's keep it real right now for just a little bit of time. What the heck is going on? Listen, there are questions that are going to make you want to quit, but I want to preach the sermon today. Listen, don't quit. There's too much in you for you to quit. Jesus is our rock. Let's read 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing, your grace, your mercy. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us. Father, we desperately need you right now. We want to declare that you are our rock in which we stand. That means that we are on a firm foundation and nothing can move us. And Father, there's way too much in us for us to quit. We just ask you right now that Jesus would be magnified and all God's people said. And those that really love Jesus said, amen. The first thing I want to pull out of this text, he says, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels, in earthen vessels. Basically, it's saying here that there is treasure inside of you, that you are an earthly vessel. Now, if you can look through that in some type of investigative eyes, you will see treasure in earthly vessels. He says, but we have this treasure. That means there's something valuable inside what you see. How many know you and I are earthly vessels? Now, when he says the earthly vessel, that doesn't sound too glamorous. That doesn't sound too spectacular. It's almost like you can imagine in the old times that you'd have these clay jars. And here they are, these clay jars. But inside is something way more precious. What this tells me is there's more to you than meets the eye. Look at someone who said, there's more to me than meets the eye. See, some of you, you've been worrying about the earthly vessel. Some of you came out today, the earthly vessel looks good. I'm not dissing no one's earthly vessel. Your earthly vessel looks good. You've got nice weave on that earthly vessel. You've got muscles on that earthly vessel. You've done everything that you could do with that earthly vessel. But God is telling us today, listen, that's good, but there's treasure inside. When you are a Christian, when you have Christ, you have something far more valuable on the inside. I'm here to tell you there's more to me than meets the eye. You may be looking on the outside and think, there's not really much to him. How come he can be used? How come he's doing what he's doing? I look, what has he got that I haven't got? Listen, there is nothing on the outside that I can boast of, but what I boast about is what is in me. I have the treasure on the inside. There's something different about when you're saved and you believe Jesus and you're walking with Jesus, you have treasure on the inside. What the treasure is the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God, the gospel. This is why God can use us. This is why God can use you. Stop looking at your earthly vessel and start looking at the treasure on the inside. This is what Paul is saying. He says, listen, don't quit because there's treasure in you. When you look at your earthly vessel, sometimes you want to quit. You try and do your best with your earthly vessel, but you want to quit. Sometimes the earthly vessel is going to go through some problems. In the text, he goes straight into it. He says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Basically, what he's saying is, God is going to use you and you're going to know it's not you. That's the Courtney Lowe translation of that part there. In verse 8, look what he says here. We are hard pressed. The word hard pressed means that you're under pressure from problems. How many have ever been under pressure from problems? It says that your problems are like a crowd. I remember when going to Westfield, I was as a consultant, lighting consultant, I was working for, I had to do all the new body shops, and I had to go to Westfield when it just opened, the one in Stratford, not the one in White City. The one in Stratford, if you're from Stratford, we love you. But that one's a little bit more girl. I don't want to say that. If you're from Stratford, we love you, man. I'm just saying, Because that one is just like, and so it was like this, literally, it just opened, people were going crazy in there, and it was like a crowd, it was just, everyone was around, and so you had to like, if you was walking around, and that was your shop, you had to kind of like, go through the shop, it was so crowded. This is what he's saying, hard pressed, have you ever felt like your problems are all around you, that the problems are putting pressure on top of you? Have you ever said these words, I feel depressed? Depressed, meaning that there's a pressure on you, pushing you down. He says here, he says, we are hard pressed on every side. There's everything around me. So there's pressure in my marriage. There's pressure in my finances. There's pressure with my kids. There's pressure on my job. There's pressure with my family. There's pressure in relationships. There's pressure, 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 pressure all around. And this pressure is squeezing me in. And I'm like, Lord, what's going on here? What's happening here? Every side? I mean, sometimes you could take one problem and deal with it. You're like, yeah, I understand. Listen, I'm not a baby. I understand life has problems. Then another problem comes at the same time. All right, you know, I'm not a baby. You know, I can understand. I'm not living in Disneyland. I know there's going to be problems. But then it hits you again and again. And you're like, no, this is too much now. This is too much. This is one after another. One I could handle, but this is on every side. But look what he says here, is that we're hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. Look what he says here. This gets me excited. That, yeah, my earthly vessel is going to go through some stuff, but I'm not crushed. The enemy can squeeze me, but he can't crush me. The enemy can squeeze me, but he can't crush me. The pressure that he's putting on me, it's not like, I feel sometimes like I'm going to break and be ground into dust, but I won't be ground into dust. The harder he pushes on me, it's like a diamond. If you push on a diamond, eventually that diamond would go through your hand. It's one of the toughest things. Because the reality is that it's tough. There's something on the inside of me that the enemy cannot crush me. He will not crush my spirit. When you have God on the inside of you, I want to tell you, is that there's something stronger in you than the pressure on the outside. There's something stronger on the inside of you. If we have a cardboard box and we put bricks in it, if I stood on the box and I jump up and down, the box won't collapse. You know why? Because there's something stronger in the box than what's on the box. That's pushing on the box. That's tormenting the box. I want to tell you today, the Bible says there's something stronger in you. When you have Christ, when you have Christ, you will not be crushed. He says, next, perplexed. The word perplexed means lacking the resources. Can I loosen my tie a bit? Yeah. I was going to take off my jacket, but my wife is showing me this thing. It's a man's not hot or something like that. I don't know if you've heard of that. I don't know. She said, if I say that, people will laugh. So I said it. I don't know what that is. If it's offended anybody here, blame Francis. Perplexed means I'm lacking the resources, means I don't know what to do next. Have you tried everything and exhausted all of your avenues, and you've called all of your friends, and you've tried all of your strategies, but you're still not making any headway in the problem? You're perplexed. This is where you say, I don't know how to work this out anymore. I've tried everything I know. I've called in every favor. I've called around. Remember, there was a program. You could call a friend. You've tried all of that. But you're perplexed. But he says here, we're not in despair. In the Greek, it says not driven to despair. I may not know what to do or how to do it, but I'm not driven to despair. Because I know there is someone who does know how to do this. What it means is to be despair, not driven to despair. It means even though I don't know how this is going to work out and I don't know how to work this out, I still have hope. I still have hope. Even though I don't know what's going on and I don't know how to, I've tried everything and nothing is changing, but I'm not, this thing is not going to drive me to despair. It's not going to pick me up. Uber, you order this thing, you get in the car, it takes you to where you're going. The other day, I had to take my car in. There was problems going on in my car. so I had to take it in. I took it for an MOT, and then they called me out. If you've got a car and you just want the MOT to go through, you ever got that call from the garage, you got the car for the MOT, you get that call, you're scared. And so they started coming up with some numbers, and this is wrong, and that's wrong. I said, okay. And so I think it was a Monday, and so we had practice or something. So I said, all right, I'll come and collect it on the way to church. And so I called an Uber, and just got in the Uber, and quickly we went around there because of time. And so the Uber, I knew where it was because I dropped the car there, but the Uber man was taking me somewhere that, I said, no, take this turn in here. You're taking me in the wrong place. And so this is what it means, is that even though you're perplexed and you don't know what's going on, you're not allowing this thing to take you to despair. When it tries to take you to a place of despair, no. I'm going to a place of hope. I'm not going to a place of despair. It won't allow your mind to be taken to a place where nothing is going to work and there's no hope for you. He says, listen, I'm not in despair. It also means that I won't be made embarrassed. I won't be embarrassed. Actually, when I looked at the word, what do you mean you won't be embarrassed? Meaning that I won't be embarrassed. You know, if you wait on somebody and you hope for somebody and then they don't turn up, it's almost like you've been embarrassed. They've left you high and dry. He says, listen, whenever you hope in God, you will never be embarrassed. You will never be. You know, isn't that what the devil says to us? Oh, so you're hoping in on God now. Ah, so it's like that. And you think, and so you're young, you're single, you're living for Jesus, time is moving on. The devil's telling you, listen, you're going to be single forever. You're going to be like one of those women that live by themselves, all by themselves for the rest of their life. And listen, if you want to live by yourself for the rest of your life, praise God, that's your hobby. But maybe you don't. And the devil's lying to you, saying you're going to live there with just cats, loads of cats, 20 cats in the house. You're known as the cat lady that goes to church. And that's how the devil's been lying to some of you. And you're like, and then people, your friends are going to see you. I remember I was telling someone this the other day. I remember when I got saved. And so, you know, my friends knew I got saved. I told my friends I'm going to church now and blah, blah, blah. I'm a Christian and all of this stuff. And so the devil used to lie to me. He says, listen, you're going to marry someone and they're going to be this mad. They're just, I don't know what to say. It's a nice way to say it. They're just, yeah, I don't know. They look in a certain way, which is, you know, you have beautiful and then you have the other side of it. That's what I'm going to say. You know, you have someone that's really beautiful, and then you have the other side of it. And so this makes no sense. You're looking at me like, you're crazy. But this is how I thought. You know, I'm going to have to marry. I'm going to have to settle for something that I don't want and whatnot. And then but people are going to see me, and they're like, oh, what happened to you? What's going on here? See, some of you are like, you fought it. Some of you are like, really, you're crazy. Imagine somebody thinking that. Or maybe it might not be a relationship. It might be a job. It might be money. It might be house. It might be career, education. But the Bible says, listen, we may be perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. He says here, the next one, when you look at it, he says, persecuted. If you live for Jesus, you're going to have enemies. That's the reality. You've got to understand that. I've said it to you before, I'll say it again. Listen, if the devil had Instagram and Jesus had Instagram, we know who'd have more followers. And we know who'd have more likes. Because Jesus says it. Narrow is the road that leads to righteousness and few walk on it. See, if you're living for likes, little hearts, little thumbs up, whatever it is, if you're living for likes, soon you're going to stop putting things up about church. You put something up about holiday, you got like 300 likes. You put something up about church, you got 3. See, some of you have felt it already, hasn't it? You wore a certain dress. Some of you ladies, you know. You wore that certain dress. You took a picture. Woo! Likes. You wore the other one. Your mum liked it. And your dad liked it. You go, girl. The pastor liked it. Hey, yeah, amen. So, you're living for likes. Listen, you're going to be persecuted. If you do anything right and you stand for Jesus, you're going to have enemies. You can call it haters if you want. You cannot please everybody all of the time. You can only please some of the people some of the time. Listen, either you stand for something or you're going to fall for everything. Whenever you stand for something, someone's going to pull you down. Sometimes those very people were once your friends. The night I remember the next day I was getting baptized. And so this sounds so crazy. So basically, I used to cut people's hair back in the day. Around the area where my hair, I used to cut people's hair. And so all my friends would come around and I'd be cutting their hair. And so the next day I'm getting baptized. I've only been saved a month or so. And they're asking me all these questions. And I remember them saying, listen, that's not you. That's this, that's that. And so here are my friends. But my friends were influencing me in a negative way. One of them actually said to me, you'll be back soon. That was the last thing he said. He said, you'll be back soon. The way he said it, it was like, And really, I didn't even hang with him that well. You just come for a haircut. How about I'll be back soon? I don't even hang with you, man. You're not even one of my homies. How about I'll be back soon? You don't even know me. But it was the devil speaking through him, trying to influence me. I remember seeing him 5 years later. He was busted, man. Busted. His life was just... I would not want to swap places with him. Listen, right now, maybe there's some of you here. You want to live for Jesus. You're trying to live for Jesus, but you feel persecuted. Sometimes it's going to be people in your own household. Just because you got saved, they're persecuting you. Some of you, just because you go to this church, the Potter's House, Wandsworth, people are going to persecute you. Just because you're trying to live godly and righteous. And I tell you, the more you do for Jesus, the more people want to persecute you. The less you... Listen, if you was curled up in a ball somewhere, if you was just doing nothing, if you was just doing nothing, having no impact, having no nothing with your life, just doing nothing, hanging out, and Win Stanley doing nothing, nobody would have nothing to say about you. But as soon as you start to say, listen, I want to do this, I'm going to go for that, oh, you think you're all that now. Oh, so you're too good for us now. Oh, you're too good for me now. Oh, so now you want to preach to me. So you think you're really holy now. And all of this is verbal persecution. The more you do. When I was a disciple, yeah, you got a bit of persecution. A few people saying things. Since I've been a pastor, I was thinking about this. Since I've been a pastor, I had way more. I remember someone told me, hey, Pastor so-and-so said he's going to come down and smash up your car. I said, why? Oh, he said you're preaching about him. I literally not preached about him. I preached about sinners. Yeah, tell me not to preach about sin no more. This is a church. We have to preach about sin. Are you mad? Are you nuts? I remember there's a guy one time, some of you remember, he came, he was railing up with his girlfriend outside. Girlfriend was there, and big man, he's throwing his weight around. And so somebody brought the girl into the church. No, you're not coming in here to bully nobody. Stay out there. The guy's kicking him out there. I came out, tried to speak to him. He's throwing this up. Listen, that's cool, please. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. Listen, there's men in this church that would have got rid of him. They would have probably got rid of him. So we call the police for him before he does something that he regrets. So I said, hey, did that go? He's coming back for you with a machine. I don't need a washing machine. Why is he coming back with a washing machine? But I realized, no, boss, not that type of machine. But let him come. Bring your machine. Listen, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. If it ain't my time to go, that for you could click, 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 do what you want. It will blow up in your hand because God is sovereign. Because the Bible says I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. God is still with me. God is still around me. God is the orchestrator of my footsteps. The Bible says the footsteps of a righteous man are planned out by God Almighty, not some weasel little roughneck that wants to threaten women. I'm persecuted, yes. And some of you are like, why am I persecuted? Because you follow Jesus. Some of you, because you just want to do the right thing. And people always get vexed with people when they want to do the right thing. And the Bible says, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. I love this one. We've got to keep reading. He says, struck down. Struck down. What it means is to be... To receive that, to go down because you received a blow. This is when something has knocked you down, when you've got that blow. Recently I started to get into boxing, and this year I'm always talking about boxing. Me, Kyle, we're always talking about boxing. Listen, man, what's going on? And in boxing, they say that the punch you see coming doesn't hurt as the one you don't see coming. When you see a punch coming, you kind of brace yourself. Ooh, it's like, ooh, we're like, ooh. But he actually saw it coming, so he braced himself. But when you don't see it coming, just for your life. And that's the one that will get you. And this is what he's saying, is there sometimes there are some blows that hit us and we didn't see it coming. Anybody here, if you've ever been hit by a blow that you didn't see coming? If you've ever been winded, I've been winded before. Just mucking about with people, and when you get winded, you go down. Yeah. One time I was a young kid, I was riding around with these kids. I was a young kid, there were some girls there. When I say young, I mean young, like 14. I was riding around, I had a BMX. You guys don't know what that is, I don't know if you know, but there's BMXs, and so we're riding, and I was doing a wheelie, and then I was like, yeah, I was trying to impress the girls, and I went right back. And when I landed back, I banged my head, but it was when my back hit, it was like winded. It was like, literally, I could not get up for about a minute. Oh, and then when I did get up, you know, when you just expose yourself, I try to. Have you ever been hit by something? Have you ever been, as your finances taken a blow out of nowhere? You ever had a bill out of nowhere? Like, you've got your budget all sorted out. Yeah, I got my budget. I'm ready with this budget. You're like, yeah, I'm going to stick to this budget. And then, boop, you was wheeling with your budget. Boop. You don't know what's coming. Listen, that's a blow. Last year, I remember when I was remortgaging my house. We'd moved to our house, and so we needed to remortgage it so that we could do some other stuff. And I'd put all the paperwork, I'd hired the solicitor, and done everything. And the day that the mortgage was supposed to go through, we had like men's discipleship in Walthamstow. And the solicitor called me up and said, Mr. Lowe, we've looked over your papers. Just to know, are you going to pay the $25,000 out of your pocket? She didn't say your pocket, but I don't know what she said, but something like that. Is that 20? No, the mortgage, the bank is going to pay all of that. Oh, no. We've done the match. There's $25,000 that needs to be added to it. Listen, maybe some of you here got 25,000. I got no 25,000. If it's 25 pounds, yes. Someone's pastor, he bought me 25. Oh, okay. I got 25 pounds. 25. Who has 25,000? So when she called me up, like I just had it. I can't be going on mentally. I need to go to the bank. I went to the bank. I said, please look if there's been a miscalculation. Listen, there are blows that come out of nowhere in your marriage. Listen, sometimes in your marriage, you're going to get an unsuspected blow. I pray this doesn't happen to anybody, but I remember a lady got married to a guy in church, and she gets married to this guy. They go for everything. They actually came into church together. They knew each other, and they get married. And after she got married, I think 6 months, a month, I can't remember exactly the time she gets married, she found out that her husband had already had a child with another woman. Now, the child was old, you know, he had it before, but how many know that's a blow? Like, you didn't think to tell me that? But how many know if you're going to get married, you need to tell someone you've got kids? Some of you didn't really figure that one out. You're like, yeah, did you? No, you should. But there are other things that may come out. He says, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're not destroyed. I'm down, but I'm not out. The word destroyed means I'm not killed. I'm not going to be destroyed. I'm not going to actually be damaged beyond repair. Satan, you've won the battle, but the war goes on. You can be knocked down. Remember we spoke about within this year, Anthony Joshua is boxing. Round 6 goes down. Round 11 wins. Catapulted into stardom. Everybody knows his name there. Catapulted into stardom. But think about it, in round 6, he was knocked down. Imagine if he just said, okay, that's it, I'm only get rid of me, throw me away, I'm rubbish. No, he had to get back up. I actually saw an interview with a guy, and he actually says it like it's like his motto, knocked down 7 times, get up 8 times. Listen, he didn't invent that, sounds good, he didn't invent that. That's Bible, because the Bible says a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he's going to get back up. You've got to make up in your mind, listen, devil, you may have hit me, you may have giving me a blow. I may be winded. I may be down. I may be feeling like I don't even want to get back up. I've been hit so many times, but the battle is not over. There's more rounds for me to get up and smack you back in the chin. Devil. the scars may remain, but the wounds are healing. You've been knocked down. Some of you, maybe you hit so hard, your Bible was knocked out of your hand. You say, I can't find your Bible. Because you haven't been reading your Bible for a while. Because you was knocked down. Some of you are knocked down, you're disorientated. You don't know how to pray. Like, nothing's coming out. But you need to get back up. Some of you have been knocked so hard you couldn't find your way back to church. But he says, listen, we are not destroyed. You've got to be like, back in the 80s, I used to like these films, and the horror, not horror films, but like action films where there's a baddie. And you know what I'm talking about if you've ever seen these 80s films. And so they're like, there's a big explosion and the monster dies. And then the girl and the guy, they hug, and he thinks it's over, and all of a sudden you see the rubble start to move. And it comes back again. It's not dead. And they run, and then they shoot it. And you're like, oh, it's over with. And then the little eye winks, and the monster comes again. And then we know that's like in the 80s movies. That's how they, listen, that's how I am. I'm like that monster. Listen, don't get it scared. You're like, Pastor, you're a monster. No, I'm like that. No matter what the devil does to me, no matter what you blow up, no matter what you hit me with, I'm going to come back. I'm going to run. That's right. You can try to blow me up, but I'm going to shake off that rubble and keep coming back. Because the word of God says, listen, I'm struck down. You hit me. Yeah, you got a good one. Well done. But I'm not out. I'm not destroyed. There's too much in me to quit. Earthly vessels have been cracked and pressure and all of these things. Yes, I'm hard pressed. Yes, I'm in distress. Yes, I'm persecuted. Yes, I'm knocked down. Oh, but I thought when I would give my life to Jesus, I would have an easy street. It was like one of those slides that you go up with in the fairground, and you've got like one of those little doormats, and you get on it, woo, and you come to the bottom. The Bible says here, look at what it says. It says all of these things are going to happen to you, but you still survive. You still survive. Find for me 2 Corinthians 4:16. Let's go to that verse. 4:16. I'm going to close. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:16. You read it up there? Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and excellent weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are eternal. In the beginning of that text, it says, we do not lose heart. The word lose heart, let me give you understanding about this phrase. It means to lose one's motivation to accomplish some valid goals. Paul is saying, do not lose your motivation to accomplish a valid goal. Some of you, you've set goals. You want to start a business. Some of you, you want to bring up your kids to be healthy and blessed. Some of you set goals. I want to do this, I want to do that. You know what he says? Listen, you're going to go through some war. You're going to go through some stuff. I want to get married. I want to build a home. I want to buy a home. I want to do this. You've got valid goals. But you've gone through some turbulence. You've gone through some stuff. Some of you, I just want to live for Jesus. I want my ministry. I want to enter into ministry. I want to be fruitful. He says here, do not lose motivation for your valid goals. That's what it means not to lose heart. Do not become weary. Do not give up. Do not be discouraged. Do not lose enthusiasm. It actually means don't conduct yourself badly now. How many know we can do that? We go for a storm and we feel like a setback and we say, oh, what's the point? You ever felt like that? It was just me. What's the point? What's the point? Let me just deal with my, let me just be like everybody else. What's the point? No one's helping me anyway. He says, listen, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't lose heart. Remain focused. And he tells us how we do it. He says, even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. He says, the inward man is being renewed. The outward man is really going through a struggle. This is like dropping your phone and your case breaks, but your phone is safe. How many know you be praising God? You have a mobile phone, your case broke, but your phone is open. He says, this is what he's saying. He said, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is still good. He's actually being renewed. He's actually getting actually saying light affliction. What I'm going through is actually now light work. That's what he's saying. Look, for this light affliction, he's saying, listen, even though I'm hard-pressed, even though I'm abandoned, even though I'm persecuted, even though I'm perplexed, even though I've been knocked down, he said it's light work. Devil, is that all you've got? Listen, I can go through that. I can handle it. He says, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What he says is, what I'm going through is nothing compared to where I'm going to. What I'm going through has nothing in comparison to where I'm going to and who I'm going to. So I can go through this, and this is light work. Bring it on, devil, because I realize that you can do everything you want to this outer man, but you cannot touch this inner man. I always say, it's not what you're going through, it's what you allow to go through you. And then he goes on, this is where I want to come in. He says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. But the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are unseen are eternal. He means the problems we're going through are transient. They're moving. These problems are just—they're moving. They're not solid problems. I need some participation. Adrian, I need you. Oh, he's smiling, smart. I said, Adrian, come up the side. David. David's never been up there, have you? Give him a round of applause. Encourage him. Amen. Kyle, Kenny, you come up as well. Yeah. Put your shoes back on, Kenny. Amen. And so you stand there. Stand there. You stand behind him. No. So you face me. Amen. Amen. We're trying to build marriages here, man. Praise God. And so the Bible says this is that these are my problems here. And so this is hard pressed. This is perplexed. This is what was the third one? Shout it out. Persecuted. There you go. I got it. Persecuted. This is knocked down. And he said. And so what he says is, he says, we do not look at the things which are seen. We don't focus on it. That's what he means. We don't focus in on the things which are seen. When you go to the airport, and if you've ever flying out, you're going to the airport, you look on the board for the departure, and you find your flight, and then you reference off that. There's a lot of information on the other side, but you're not looking at that. That's what he's saying. We don't focus or reference or build our life around the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. And he says the reason why we don't do that is because the things which are seen, all of these problems, they are transient. They are passing. But you, what is in you is eternal. And so it's as simple as this. Start to walk past me. One at a time. You stay there. Okay. So you are, what are you? You're hard pressed. Yeah. So say, I'm hard pressed.
I'm hard pressed.
Yeah. So push down on me. But keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Okay. But that was for a season. That's right. Give him a round of applause. Off he goes. That's it. Next one comes up. Who are you?
I'm perplexed.
I think you are perplexed. And so here he is. Push down on me. Come on, push down on me. But keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. That's how it is. I'm fixed. But this thing, you're going to come out of it. Right now, you're perplexed. Come on, David. This is your one chance. 1, 2, 3, go. Who are you?
Persecuted.
Persecuted. Give me a round of applause. Persecuted. Give me some persecution. Let me do this. Do this. Do this. Persecute me. Do something. Oh, sorry. It really is persecuted. Off you go. There you go. And so he's off, and the last one is knocked down. Okay. Why did you laugh? Like you weren't ready to knock me down, man. Go on, give me a little blow, a soft blow, like pretend. Woo! I'm knocked down, but keep going, keep going, keep going. I can get back up again, because the Bible says we don't focus on these things, because these things are transient. I know when you see Kyle and Adrian and David and thing in front of you, Kenny, in front of you, when you see these things in front of you, you are intimidated, you are discouraged. But can I tell you, hold on, don't give up, they're going to pass, because what is in you is eternal. What you're going through is temporal. He said, don't focus in on this. Last thing, over the last 3 weeks, I've had a really bad headache. 3 weeks, literally. And I thought I was getting sick for one. I thought I needed more sleep. And basically what it is a problem with my prescription, my glasses. So I've ordered a new pair of What it is eye strain. I'm getting eye strain. So if you've talked to me and I'll screw my face at you, it's not that I didn't like you, it's beef. But, so I get this headache. So I was researching last night about eye strain. And it said, the problem is that you're on the screen a lot, and I'm on my computer a lot, studying and doing things. And so your eyes are focusing on what's in front of you. He says, what it is, what you've got to do to relieve eye strain. He says, get up. He said in the article, get up, go to the window, look out of the window, and start to look out far away. And so where we live by the Thames. So we look. So I've been getting up and I've been looking out of the balcony and focusing far away. And it kind of relieves the tension and the strain. And this is what he's saying here. He says, listen, we do not look at the things which are seen. Some of you are so straining on what's in front of you right now. You're getting spiritual eye strain. You're looking at everything and you're getting headaches and you're in church and you can't praise and you can't read and things are going on in your life because you're focused on that. But Jesus says, lift up your eyes. The Bible says, I lift up my eyes to the hills where comes my salvation. You need to lift up the eyes of faith and look at what you can't quite see yet. You've got to start to focus in on some further things. Some of you here, you need to look back to the cross, what Jesus did for you. There's some here, you need to know that, listen, Jesus died on the cross for you. And if you will accept Christ today, treasure will be put in you, that you can handle everything you're going through. But you've got to accept Jesus. You've got to look to the cross. Over 2,000 years ago, God demonstrated his love for you. So you can make it. We sung that song, death could not hold him down. And I was rejoicing when I was singing that because I was like, amen. And he's in me, so death can't hold me down. Can't hold me down. Your problems, your situations, your struggles, all of these things, they can't hold you down when you have Christ in you. See, there's others, we're saved, we've seen the cross, but I want to tell you, you need to look ahead and realize, listen, there's so much more worth fighting for. There's so much more. Don't give up right now. There were times in the body that I went through problems, but imagine if I'd give up, I would have never seen what God wanted to do in my life. I would have never seen you guys saved. I would never seen the churches be planted out. I would never see us having conference. I would never see us sending out missionaries all around the world. I would never see us building buildings and having schools and all of these things. And you're saying, Pastor, but we haven't seen some of that yet. Yeah, we haven't seen it with our eyes, but we can see it with our eyes of faith. And we're looking out. And that's why I'm not straining on that anymore. I'm looking to what God can do. Some of you need to look at the marriage God is going to give you. Look at the house he's going to put you in. Look at the ministry he's going to give you. Look at the children. They're not saved today, but they're going to be saved. They're going to be serving God. Look out. And the Bible says this is what we look at. This is what we focus on. And this is why we don't quit. Because there's too much in me for me to quit. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.